As I've mentioned, I think before, I'm in the middle of reading a book that written by a preacher in New York City, and it's about his contacts with various people and their responses, some of the things they say to him about God, about the Bible, about Jesus, about salvation, about heaven and hell. And one of the responses he gets or has gotten from people is their idea that they don't want anything to do with a religion that in any way causes division. In other words, the only thing they want is something that promotes peace and harmony with all people for all reasons and under all circumstances. Well, how does Jesus fit into that picture? In other words, the gospel of Jesus Christ, how does it fit into that picture of promoting peace and harmony amongst all people under all circumstances? And that's a valid question, I think, to ask. I think it's an important one. It was an important one in the first century because Jesus talked to his apostles about it. So if Jesus found it necessary to talk to his apostles about this, then certainly we need to learn about it, discuss it, look at it, examine it in our time as well. Our text comes from Matthew chapter 10, and as always, it's so important to understand the context. The first part of Matthew chapter 10 has Jesus sending out the 12 in what's sometimes called the limited commission. In other words, he tells the 12 to go out, but they're to go out only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, they were only to take the gospel to the Jewish people. So that's why it's sometimes called the limited commission. So he sends them out. But he sends them out with some advice and some warnings. He says, when you go out and you take the message, when you tell people about Christ, when you tell them this message I want you to take, understand that many people will be angry. Many people will not want to hear that message. And matter of fact, he tells them, not only will many people not want to hear the message, many people will want to kill you. That's how bad the persecutions will be. So he doesn't want them to go out naively. He wants them to understand the difficulties that will arise from what they're getting ready to preach and teach to these people. So, of course, they do go out. They do encounter persecutions. They do encounter these type of circumstances. But he told them it was going to happen. In that same chapter, he says, some of those persecutions are going to come from your own family. In Matthew chapter 10, notice verse 21, this is Jesus talking to his apostles. He says, now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, and you'll be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And that whole section talks about persecutions. But then he goes on and says, don't fear men, because the only thing men can do is kill your body. He says the only one you should be concerned with is God, who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. So he says, when you go out and when you take this message, yeah, some even from your own family will persecute you even to the point of wanting you dead. But he said, don't fear them, because that's all they can do. They have no power over your soul. Then he tells them, when you go out, be willing to confess Jesus. Be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and don't be ashamed of it. Because Jesus says, if you're ashamed of that confession, if you're ashamed of me, he says, one day I'm going to be ashamed of you. So be willing to take that message to the people. Now that's all of that has led up to our text for tonight, which begins in verse 34. Jesus says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. That is the background to this passage. Jesus says, I did not come to promote and bring peace and harmony between all people. And you know why? Because that's impossible. It was impossible. He had just told them that not only would the message not bring peace and harmony, but matter of fact, the message was so divisive that even members of a person's own family would want to have them killed. That's pretty divisive. But Jesus said, that's the message. But some will say, well, what did the angel say in Luke chapter 2? Well, let's go over to Luke chapter 2, talking about the birth of Christ. I'll read from the New King James, then I'll read from the English Standard. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. This is the heavenly host, the angels, praising God and saying, verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Doesn't that teach that Jesus was going to come and promote peace amongst all people? No. Now listen to the translation from the English Standard, which is vastly different from what you're going to read in the New King James. Vastly different. But the English Standard is definitely the more precise, more correct rendering of the original language. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. See the vast difference in meaning between those two? Jesus came to promote peace amongst everybody? No. Only amongst peace between those with whom He's well pleased. And we know from the Bible, who's He pleased with? Those who accept the message of His Son. So the difference between those is vast. The difference between those is amazing. Look at what he says. Look what Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, which is very relevant to what we're talking about. This is the peace Jesus came to bring. Chapter 5, verse 1 of Romans, Paul writes to the Christians there and says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's where we have peace. See, you and I can have peace and harmony. How? Because we're in Christ. He's the one that brought peace to you and I. Two people, one of which is in the body of Christ and one which is outside the body of Christ, cannot have that peace. That's what he's saying. Cannot have that peace. It's only available to those in the body of Christ. Another reason to be in the body of Christ. Keeping His commandments is connected with pleasing God. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, John wrote to his writers and said to his readers and said this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. John writes, 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So when Jesus came to bring peace on earth to those who with whom He's well pleased, it's those who do His commandments. So He in no way came to bring peace and harmony amongst all people. He knew His gospel would divide. In Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrew writer groups all people into two categories. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, the Hebrew writer says, beginning in verse 8, in talking about Christ and Him being our priest, it says, though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Those are the ones that have peace. Who? The ones who obey Him. Why? Because they have salvation. So what does the gospel do? It divides all of humanity into two groups. That's what it does. The gospel divides all humanity, all people, wherever they are on the face of the earth, is in one of those two groups. Every one. It's either in those who have been saved or those who are lost. So the gospel divides humanity into those two groups. When Jesus comes again, he talks about in Matthew chapter 25, what's he going to do? Separate all into what? Sheep on his right, goats on his left. Two and only two groups. And that division is caused by the gospel. Those who accept and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, the sheep, and those who don't, the goats. So the gospel does divide, and it does cause division. But it's because people choose not to accept the gospel of Christ. That's why it's divisive. He goes on in that text and says the gospel divides families. He says a man is set against his father and a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He says the gospel can even divide a family. And of course it has since the first century. It even divided Christ's family for a while, didn't it? Because his brothers didn't even believe in him. His brothers didn't even believe in him at first. His own flesh and blood did not believe he was really the Son of God. So that essential message that Jesus Christ is the Son of God divided his own family. And Jesus told his apostles, when you go out, that message will divide families. When you go into a household, what's going to happen? Some in the household will accept it and some won't. And that will divide people. In Matthew 10, they're just going to Jewish households. What would happen? Some in that Jewish household would accept Jesus as the promised, prophesied Messiah, and some wouldn't. And that would cause a division within that family. And that was done because of the gospel. Our relationship with Christ has to be greater than all other relationships. In Mark chapter 10, we have Jesus saying this. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 28. We talked about this a little bit this morning. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Peter began to say to him, "See, we've left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life." What did he mean? What did he mean that you would receive in this life mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters? How's that possible? Well, the answer is quite simple. When we're born again, we're born into a new family. And what happens in that family? We have brothers and sisters in that family. So yes, we may give up physical family members because they choose not to obey the gospel. But in return, we get a whole new family. And he said you would receive that in this lifetime. So when one is born from above and one is born into the family of God, that person inherits a brand new family. So Jesus said the gospel would divide families. And lastly, the gospel is going to divide the worthy from the unworthy. Jesus said in verse 38, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." The gospel calls people. This isn't a mysterious, better felt than told call. This is a call to deny ourselves. That's what he says. It's a call to deny ourselves. "He who does not take his cross and follow after me." Luke's account of this adds the word daily. It says you've got to take up your cross and follow me daily. And if you don't, Jesus says, you are not worthy to be my disciple. So the gospel calls people to deny themselves, to deny their wants, to deny their desires, and follow Him. Paul wrote about this when he wrote to the churches in Galatia. Galatians chapter 2, this is what he tells them. Galatians chapter 2. And we'll read verses 19 and 20. Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Paul writes, "For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I don't live for myself. I live for Christ. So it's Christ living in me. He says that's what's important. So what does the gospel do? It divides people into those who are willing to die to self and those who are not willing to die to self. So it divides people into those two groups. And what does it mean to die to self? We get rid of, we die, we sacrifice all of those things that are done for selfish reasons. In that same book, he talks about this as being a crucifixion. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul writes this, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." Paul had so much that he gave up, and that's what he's bringing to their attention. He was a prominent Jew. He was a prominent Pharisee. He had influence. He had power. But Paul says, I consider all that, in that same book he talks about, as refuse, as dung. He says, it's worthless to me now. He says, I've died to that, I've sacrificed it, I've gotten rid of it. I want nothing to do with it anymore. So the gospel divides people into those worthy and those unworthy. Paul was willing to sacrifice and deny his own desires, his own wants, for the sake of the gospel. And so the gospel was making that division. Only those willing to die to self are counted worthy. He says these are the ones that's on the road to life. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Those who live for the things of the world are going to do what? They're going down that broad path that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 17. And their end is not life. Their end is destruction. Their end is condemnation. So Jesus, even in the Sermon on the Mount, divided people into two groups. He says, there are those who have denied self, those who are following me on that narrow path, and then there's all of those on the broad path. And Jesus said, there's only two paths to go. And how one responds to Christ and His message determines which path we're on. Are we on the path to eternal life? Are we on the path to eternal destruction? The gospel causes that division. As I mentioned at the beginning, so many people in the world want everything to be peaceful and harmonious, and Jesus says it's not possible. Because so many people refuse to accept Him and His message. They refuse to accept Him as the Messiah. They refuse to submit to Him. They refuse to follow Him. They refuse to follow the gospel message. And so because they've made that decision, they've divided themselves. So the gospel divides the world. There's the saved and the lost. There's the worthy and the unworthy. There's those who obey and those who disobey. But people make that decision themselves based upon how they answer that gospel call. What are they going to do with it? Do they want eternal life, or are they headed to eternal condemnation because it's up to them. See, Jesus is calling us. He calls us every day. And just like he told those apostles when they went out, don't be surprised when people don't accept the message. Don't be surprised when people are upset. Don't be surprised when people get angry. It says, don't be surprised if even in your own family there are divisions. It says, don't be surprised because it will happen. But it's because people choose either to obey or not. And that's how the gospel divides. That's how the gospel of Christ divides. Some will answer the call, most won't. Many of us have answered the call here, but maybe we haven't been faithful in our lives like we need to be faithful. And maybe this is the day we decide to repent and turn things around. Or maybe we've not answered that call, and we need to tonight by being born into the family of God. And if it's your desire to do either of those, we encourage you, we urge you to come as David leads us in this song. Let us stand, please.